The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. What a crazy time to be alive. Charlie Robinson on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Second hour, Charlie Robinson Show. You can check out my work over at my website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter, at macroaggression. You can buy my books. Take a look over at Amazon, The Octopus of Global Control, The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire with Jeff Berwick, Hypocrisy, Surviving in a World of Cultural Double Standards. Or you can listen to my podcast, Macroaggressions, wherever podcasts are served. And on that podcast, I have had the pleasure of speaking with our next guest, John Brisson, about a variety of things. Actually, one of the topics I think we're going to get into. So you can check out his fantastic writings over at weavered.substack.com. You can support his work over on Patreon. You can listen to his podcast, By Their Fruits. Ladies and gentlemen, the great John Brisson. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing well, Charlie. It's great to be here with you on the Charlie Robinson Show on TNT Radio. It's great to be back, brother. And yes, definitely a fan of your work. I want everybody, of course, listening, they're supporting you obviously as well too. And thank you for the very kind words and the shout out, brother. I'm glad to be back here.
Well, we always go into some deep, dark secrets when I talk to you. It may be the Finders cult, which you've done extensive work on. For those that are interested in understanding how politics works at a dark level, I think they need to get familiar with the work that you've done on that topic. It's not limited to the Finders, of course. You're all over the place. But one of the conversations that you and I had a while ago, you brought this very devious group to my attention. It was hidden in plain sight. It was only hidden to the extent that I didn't know to go look for it. And I'm talking about the Center for National Policy. Now, this is a group that operates in Washington, D.C. They're not having secret meetings in the basement of some abandoned building or anything like that. I mean, they've got an address. You can go find what they're talking about. But it seems like it's hidden from the general public. I never hear about it on the media. Nobody ever mentions it. You have to go search for it. And I think that's kind of the way they prefer it. Can you fill us in on what this group is? Let's start with this. On the surface area, what is their stated mission? And then we'll get into a little bit more of the deeper aspects of what they're actually doing.
Yeah. So CNP, or the Council for National Policy, they claim that they work on policy of the United States of America only, from a conservative GOP type perspective, right? The stated goals of the CNP are economic freedom, religious freedom, Judeo-Christian values, which as a Christian, I would say Christian values, and a strong national defense for the United States of America. So they kind of blend in libertarianism, conservatism, nationalism type rhetoric within their stated goals and speech. But however, it appears to me, and you know, we'll discuss it more thoroughly, that they are a Fabian socialist type group. And that, of course, you know, Fabian socialism, the infamous flag, the Fabian socialist was wolf in sheep's clothing, right? So destabilization of countries through the destruction of their institutions to bring about social change and social evolution as a kind of more covert way of doing so, compared to the more counter overt way of overthrowing governments and rebellions that we kind of see in modern day communist type revolutions, right? So the CNP, on the surface, for conservatives like myself or libertarians, or anybody who considers themselves on the right now, nationalists, you know, they appear to be for us, you know, with a lot of the platforms that they quote unquote champion. But once you dig into what they've been involved with us in the past 40 or so odd years since their foundation in 1981, and who's been a major part of the CNP, Well, you find a lot of elitists and a lot of globalists, and a lot of neoconservatives and a lot of arch Zionists, you know. And so then you're like, oh, okay. Well, once you start digging into, you know, who makes, you know, who is the membership role of the CMP and what they've been involved with, you start realize, okay, well, they're not really for us. They don't really represent anybody who is right leaning or anybody who considers themselves to be right politically, or, you know, Christian, or, you know, their platforms sound good, right? You know, I'm for a certain amount of economic freedom. I'm for religious freedom. You know, I strong national defense, yeah, within reason, you know, but what they stand for seems to be, you know, anything really, but which is good for American citizens and, you know, for everyone technically. And, you know, they claim to only be for national policy, but instead that they've really focused on foreign policy issues too, and we'll talk about that, especially when it comes to neoconservatism and 9/11 and the Afghan Iraq wars. But you know, they, like you said, they're secretive. They're supposed to be the counter, the right counter to the CFR. You know, Woody Jenkins, who's one of the founding members of the CMP, said, "I predict one day by the end of this century." This was in the 1990s. He said that the CMP would be so influential that no president, regardless of party or philosophy, would be able to ignore us or our concerns or shut us out of the highest levels of government. So they wanted to have as much influence on the CFR. But unlike the CFR, no one knows about the CMP when most people know about the CFR now. It's become more known out there, or like the Bilderberg Group has. You could ask a normie about them, and they've probably heard about them or the World Economic Forum nowadays. But the CMP still doesn't get talked about. It's very secretive. What we only know is from leaks. There's no published meeting itineraries or membership lists that they publish or anything like that. Where if the CFR and the Bilderberg Group, you can go check yourself. They have membership list for the CFR, for example. That's how we know Tulsi Gabbard, you know, was a member, you know, and so we were able to check those. But with the CMP, they're so secretive, Charlie, that we're not able to really was a member, you know, and so we were able to check those. But with the CMP, they're so secretive, Charlie, that we're not able to really find out much information from them, except what's been leaked. And there's been more leaked information these past few years than there ever has been. And we really don't know, I guess, in closing, the Bilderberg of the right, Losser Kell. We know far less about that, you know, as well, compared to the Bilderberg Group. So this seems to be, the CFP and Losser Kell seem to be very hidden, very secretive. And what might shock many people listening to us, they seem to control a lot of the conservative media, especially within the United States, and a lot of the alternative media too as well.
Yeah, it seems like when you dig around a little bit and you find some broadcaster on television that you go, well, this guy seems okay. I mean, this guy doesn't seem as bad as the rest of them, or somebody that's starting to make sense on Twitter. And then I go, who is this guy? Whenever I have a question about who this guy is, I always ask you. You always say, oh yeah, they're CNP connected. They're this, and, you know, and I go, okay, that's great. That's what I thought. You know, you go, who's this Jack Posobiec? And you go, he's a Bannonite. You know, he's this guy. He's that naval intelligence. And you go, okay, yeah, that's right. CNP connected. Okay, gotcha. Yep. So I guess what we found is that the right is better at keeping their mouth shut than the left, because everybody seems to know about the Council on Foreign Relations, which is essentially the American version of Chatham House. It's the roundtable establishment, you know, Cecil Rhodes and the like. And what did they want to do? Well, they wanted to destroy America from within to fold it back into the British Empire. And now the CNP comes around and you say, well, it's sort of like the right's version of the Council on Foreign Relations. You go, okay, well, yes. if the left is trying to destroy America from the inside, and the right is trying to destroy America from the inside, my question is, who's going to win that race? who's going to get it done first, John? the Democrats or the
Republicans? I don't know. The CFP seems to be more hidden, Charlie, so I don't know.
Man, I mean, we live in a world where there's secret societies and there's secret groups. And I'll tell you one thing. There's one thing that stood out to me. And I put this quote in my Octopus book in 2017. It was a quote from Newt Gingrich. And I don't normally quote Newt Gingrich because I'm not a fan, but he did have an interesting thought on Trump becoming president. He said, Trump's going to have a very difficult time in Washington, D.C. He's not a part of the group. He's not a part of the secret society. Is what he said. Was Trump involved with the CNP?
Oh, yes, very much so. Half of the CNP wanted Ted Cruz to be president. And the other
why?
Half of the CNP wanted Donald Trump to be president. I don't exactly know why. We don't know if this is kind of reported lore to throw us off. And they all wanted Trump to be president. And maybe that was one of the driving psychological operations during the 2016 election, which I fell for before I knew about the CNP. It was the reason why I voted for Trump back then. But, you know, it could have been, you know, maybe a part of that to drive people against Ted Cruz, which I can't stand, by the way, nor can I stand Donald Trump. But we do know that Donald Trump became a CNP darling, and he was the first president that they broadcast on his White House YouTube channel to speak to the Council for National Policy in 2020. I was shocked. I was flabbergasted. I didn't understand what was going on, you know, but he spoke and they loved him. They worshiped him. They applaud him. He, you know, Trump went on about how much he supports Israel and how much he loves Israel. And, you know, and of course, you know, many people within the CMP are, you know, ultra ardent Zionists, you know, so they were all clapping when Trump was praising Israel and how much, you know, Israel's our greatest ally and, you know, defending how much money we should give Israel and the moving of the United States Embassy to Jerusalem, which the CNP was completely on board with and everything. So they love Trump and they still love Trump to this day. Most of them do. Now, some of them have, again, seem to throw their allegiance in with Ron DeSantis, who we'll see. I don't even know if he's even going to throw his head in, but he might. But again, I said if he did throw his head in, I've been saying this on my channel, if he does run for Republican nomination of president in 2024, he will be the new Ted Cruz. He will be. And so he might win a few of the initial primaries, and then they'll you know, same thing that Trump did. And Rush Limbaugh, I wonder who's going to be the Rush Limbaugh of this election cycle, who kind of threw his weight behind Trump and said that Ted Cruz was cheating in the Iowa primary. You know, I wonder who's going to come against DeSantis and who's got enough voice to do that nowadays. Maybe it's Tucker Carlson. And DeSantis is going to self-immolate his campaign like Ted Cruz did. I think it's to bolster Trump even further. I guess we'll find out. Time will tell. But yes, the answer to your question, the Council for National Policy, from what I've seen, and I think a lot of the these people within the CNP, this group picks Ted Cruz, or these people in the CNP group pick Ron DeSantis. I think ultimately it's just for theater and to drive people ultimately to vote for Trump.
Do they pick the candidate? I mean, I know they're not supposed to, but do they sort of unofficially kind of pick who out of these two horses they're going to support, we the people are going to support?
I believe the CFR picks the Democratic candidate. I believe the CNP picks the Republican candidate. And the reason why I believe that is because every single nominee for United States president since Ronald Wilson Reagan, who was a major member of the Council for National Policy, so was George H.W. Bush, even though George H.W. Bush was a twofer. He liked to have one leg in the CFR and one leg in the CNP. And I do think it's because the Bush family is extremely powerful and corrupt, obviously, very major part of the elite. But every candidate, including Trump spoke to the CNP in 2016. So did Rand Paul, and I know that's going to hurt a lot of people, but Rand Paul and Ron Paul have been major decades-long members of the CMP, okay? And that was brought to light by both Josh Reeves' Secret Right, Volume 1, Volume 2 documentaries on the Council for National Policy, and when our friend Billy Ray Valentine, Charlie, interviewed Ron Paul and asked him. And so, Rand Paul in 2016 had to give a speech because all of the candidates have to give speeches to the CMP, during either before or during their running for the nomination, Republican nomination for president in the various years, right? And so it seems to be that, you know, amongst the group, whoever they pick, that's who we get. For Republican nominee for president, Charlie.
Heads they win, tails we lose. Just seems like that's the way it's set up these days. We got more with John Brisson on the other side of the break. This is TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Patrick Henningsen.
The assassination attempt on Vladimir Putin. The Ukrainians sent a drone to the Kremlin, to his residence, and detonated an explosive. This is opening up a whole new chapter in this conflict. So Dmitry Peskov clarified that the president was not present. That's the spokesperson of the Kremlin. He said that Putin was not present and was elsewhere at the time and therefore is unaffected. Russia also said it reserves the right to retaliate to this attack anywhere, anytime it deems necessary. Ladies and gentlemen, Zelensky has just signed his death warrant, unfortunately, or he's going to have to be whisked away out of Ukraine.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds. And they do it by the types of posts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook
has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
You're with Charlie Robinson on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
We're back with John Brisson from We've Read the Documents. You can support his work. Go to weavered.substack.com. That's weave, weavered.substack.com. To support John's work. John, we mentioned talking about the foreign policy, 9/11, Afghanistan, of the Council for National Policy. How does the CNP view the rest of the world? What is their policy towards these wars? Were they the driving factor behind this? It seems like, whatever the uniparty wants, the uniparty gets. But is the CNP driving this clown car towards war?
Yes, they have been since their inception. So they were very much a part of the Iran-Contra affair. Reagan was actually getting briefings by decades-long Council for National Policy member Oliver North at CMP meetings, like security and intelligence briefings that were going directly to Ronald Reagan. So they were involved with a lot of the... the drug trafficking that was outed by Gary Webb, who was assassinated, I believe, for telling the truth about the drug trafficking out of Latin America into the ghettos of Los Angeles and California. That was very much tied in with the Iran-Contra affair and Oliver North as well. And then they also supported a lot of the Latin American death squads in the civil wars, the various civil wars that were happening in Latin America during the 1980s, as well as they funded the Afghan Mujahideen freedom fires during the 1980s as well, and receiving intelligence briefings on all of this, even though they're only supposed to be a domestic council handling American affairs, but they were anything but. They're also deeply involved with 9/11 and the War on Terror. Half of the members of the Project of the New American Century, roughly, were CFR members. The other half were roughly CFP members, Charlie. So they definitely came together for 9/11 and the War on Terror. Okay. There seems to be funding through by Al-Qaeda. Through the Altiqua Bank and CMP Grover Norquist and the Saudi royal family, that there was maybe your listeners have heard of the silver runs at the Hunt family, major CMP members, Schomburg Society members, that occurred in the late 70s and early 80s. Well, supposedly that silver was, before the government could seize it during the silver run, was loaded onto two cargo planes and set to a bank in Switzerland, which was later became the Altiqua Bank, which is what the CIA used to fund the various groups, including Al-Qaeda, that we would later come against during the false war on terror, right, Charlie? So it seems to be that the CMP was involved very much in what we could see, what we would say is the modern neoconservative wars. You know, the Reyes-Contra affair, the Latin American death squads. Drug trafficking, which again, you know, ties in, we have with the Bushes and the Clintons, as you very well know, with MENA Arkansas, right? And so that all ties in together. And we also have the ecstasy trade that they were supposedly evolved into as well with Israel, which also helped fund 9/11 too. So they've been very much warmongers and war hungry. They were actually leading delegations to some of the documents I have to the USSR during the Cold War, as well as South Africa too, as well, which we know that South Africa had many biological programs, biological weapons programs that was funded by Israel. And so, you know, these are warmongers. These are the neoconservatives. You know, they want strong national defense, right? They put up many neoconservative warmongering presidents like Ronald Reagan or George H.W. Bush, or they nominated John McCain. And Donald Trump, the war in Yemen was still going on, they are behind, the various wars that we attribute to the neocons, because the CMP, like the CFR, are made up of neoconservatives.
Yeah, and there's always an invisible enemy right around the corner they've got to protect us from. We've got to get them. We've got to fight them there, or else they're going to come and get us here. We've got to destabilize Central America, or else they're going to come get us here. Of course, all of this destabilization elsewhere ultimately leads to the destabilization of us as a nation, whether that be, you know, our border process or just the soul of this country. It seems to have been hollowed out by all of these pointless wars that we see happening all over the globe. But their role in Ukraine, is there one, or have they left this to the CFR to run this new war? Because of course it has all the hallmarks of a typical America financed invasion, massive fraud, financial fraud, disasters on the battlefield, lies in the media. It's got all their fingerprints all over it. It seems like maybe the JV team is running this operation, as opposed to back in the, I don't know, the 80s and 90s and early when the Republicans are in charge of war. It seems to be a little bit more well managed. I don't even know if that's a good way to describe war, but with this Ukraine situation, it feels a little bit disconnected. Do they have a role in this Ukraine situation, or is this being run by others?
I think they do. It's not as well fleshed out as we know of as compared, because hindsight's 2020, right? But we do know that there seems to be various talking points where they talk out both sides of their mouth, the CMP does, when it comes to Ukraine and Russia. So you have some members of the CMP or some people who are within the CMP nexus, like CIA Sean Hannity, for example, on Fox News, who picks up the Ukrainian flag and runs with it, right? Right? And Zelensky, right? At least that's what we see. And so, you know, but then on the other end, you have a lot of most of the right and most of the CMPers backing Putin and backing Russia. And so, though I am a fan, neither a fan of Zelensky or Putin, I feel both for the Ukrainian people and the Russian people to have to fight in banksters' wars, because all wars are banksters' wars, including this one. It does appear that the CMP and I would say both the CFR, but more the CMP, you know, seems to at least tentatively seems to be allied with Russia and Putin, but at the same time also seems to back Ukraine. We've seen Trump kind of do this dance, right? Have you been seeing it, Charlie, where he's been kind of be like, well, I'm going to hold Putin accountable, right? You know, and if I was president, we wouldn't be where we are, but still, nonetheless, Putin can't be doing what he, you know, what he's doing, you know? So you're seeing a lot of that kind of pivoting talking point by the CMP now in a lot of ways where, you know, they're talking out of both sides of their mouth from what I've seen. Okay. They're like, you know, they want to obviously call out the corruption of what's happening in Ukraine, right? And Zelensky, but at the same time, they either defend Putin falsely, in my opinion, just like anybody who falsely defends Zelensky, or they kind of tentatively warn Putin. And so we're kind of seeing like this give or take, talking out of both sides of their mouth. And it wasn't like that. I'll say this. It wasn't like that with 9/11 and the war on terror. Like I mentioned, the Project New American Century, you know, the CMP members involved with that were William Kristol, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Karl Rove, Frank Gaffney, Steve Forbes, John Bolton, William J. Bennett, Paul Wolfowitz, R.J. Woolsey, Elliot Abrams, you know, which a lot of those people were involved within the Ran Contra affair too, as well. But as you've written extensively on, and we know that, you know, Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and Elliot Abrams and Paul Wolfowitz, well, they're major neocon warmongers, you know. So, but we do have a little bit of hindsight too to look back on 9/11 now, since it's been decades since it's happened, right? So, in the fog of war of the current Ukrainian-Russian conflict, it's really difficult to tell exactly how much the CMP has influence in, but we do know that there are some CMPers that fly the Ukrainian flag, and there's some CMPers more probably that fly the Russian flag. But, you know, in reality, in my opinion, all wars are banksters' wars. And yes, there's a lot of money and corruption that's happening in Ukraine right now, and Zelensky's getting paid. Okay. But then again, in my opinion, it doesn't make Putin the good guy or the savior, because none of them are. They're doing exactly what they're told to do. Putin was a long-term World Economic Forum member. And yes, maybe he's bucked the reins, or maybe he has not. I don't think he has. But he's taking a playbook from Klaus Schwab. Okay. So again, you know, we'll see, but it's not as defined as how much the CMP is really involved yet. We'll probably know years from now, Charlie. Hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does. It always takes a while to unravel these lies. I'm curious now, as we see the Ukraine flags disappearing from Twitter bios as people sort of get bored looking for the new thing to support. My question, I wonder, is are we about to see Taiwanese flags in people's Yeah. Twitter bios? Because this seems like the next distraction du jour. And I wonder what was, you know, we've got Biden's camp deeply involved in China. There's allegations. I don't doubt them, that the Biden administration, Biden family has been deeply involved with working with China for a long time. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Hell, George H.W. Bush was working with China from the get-go. So mm-hmm, this is not mm-hmm. a red team, Kissinger. Blue team type of Kissinger as well. Yes, of course. So this has always been, this has been a globalist wet dream to get control of China. Are we at a point now where we're sort of in a a loveless marriage with China, where they hold a ton of our debt, $1 trillion of our treasuries. We can't really mess with them too much. They control 97% of our antibiotics, 80 to 90% of our pharmaceuticals are made there. And we've got a nation that are, you know, strung out on SSRI drugs. The idea of that flow getting cut off all at once would send, I mean, you think America's crazy now? Wait till everybody's off their medication. Oh my God! Yep. So we've got a slowly percolating vibe of pushing for war with China, which to me seems like suicide on a variety of levels. But what do you feel about this role to pivot away from Ukraine? I mean, you know, that's so 2022, and move into something more into the Eastern theater, the pivot to Asia, as Barack Obama said. Would we signal the end of America if we started some sort of provocation with China over Taiwan?
I would say, okay, so the CFP has been driving this since its inception. They want this war to happen, and they play both sides. Eric Prince, CFP member, was handling the security for the Uyghur concentration camps and the Christian concentration camps in China. Okay, so they play both sides, and they have been foaming for this, Charlie. Almost since their inception, they've had delegations to Taiwan and China. Okay. And I have the early, some early documents and meeting itineraries of the CMP showing this, just like they went to USSR, and they went to South Africa. Okay. So they want this. They want this war, because this would be possibly World War III, you know, the mother of all the wars. Okay. So they want this. And Bannon's foaming in the mouth. And look, you and I neither are fans of the Chinese, you know, the Communist Chinese Party. Okay. Neither one of us are fans of the CCP at all. They're corrupt as they possibly can be. Okay. But they want this. And you also have the, you know, the BRICS nations, coming against the dominance of the U.S. petrodollar. And the CMP does not like that at all. At least they act like they don't. Some do. Some support the BRICS nations, but some don't. It's a weird kind of strange bedfellows. Okay, so, but they've been talking, and you can listen to their clips and warning and drumming up war with China to free Taiwan. So you ask me, you know, how much has the CMP evolved with Ukraine and Russia? It's foggy to some degree. How much are they involved with China and Taiwan? Very much so, because they've been involved with it for more than 40 years. So, yeah, and it will be a major nail in the coffin of the United States empire, which as a United States citizen, you know, I'm not necessarily for. You know, I mean, I understand the crimes of the United States government. We both preach about them often, but nonetheless, as a United States citizen, I'm not looking forward to the destruction of Western civilization, and this would be one way to definitely do it.
Yeah, it certainly feels that way. Hey, even without a shot being fired, if they can depeg the dollar as the world's reserve currency, that would be a catastrophe for America. That would be a price that the American people would pay for the recklessness of the American government, which would be nothing new, really. But the idea that, you know, recently we're seeing that the BRICS nations are accepting member applications to grow that. They have an additional list of about a dozen countries beyond just the application process. They're in the "we've been talking to them" category. So that's a possibility. And they've recently signaled that they're looking to launch their own currency for trades within each other. Now, that to me, every time you start talking about going around the dollar, selling oil for gold, selling oil for rubles, selling oil for chickens, whatever, if it's not denominated in the US dollar, and you start trying to do that, that's about the time that you get democracy spread on your ass from 25,000 feet. in the form of a bombing campaign. So I'm fearful that as the lunatics in Washington, D.C. start to feel this, their control of the dollar dominance slipping away, it's going to force them into Thucydides' trap. The rise of an existing nation challenging the dominance of a current empire. It's happened 16 times in the past, John. In 12 of the times, it's ended in war. My fear is that when all is said and done, it's going to be 13 out of 17. We're at that precipice now. We're at the point where China is overtaking America in terms of dominance as a as an economy. So is this the World War III that that Rockefeller, Kissinger, and Bush's H.W. Bush plotted four decades in advance? Are we finally at the point where we're going to see this during our lifetime?
I would say probably yes. I don't know what form it's going to be. It may be another Cold War, proxy war. I don't know. It doesn't seem like that's the case because what's happening in Ukraine and Russia, but you could consider that to be a proxy war because we're not completely conscripted in it yet. Much might happen under the Biden administration. I could see that for sure. But let us forget the BRICS nations. Look, I'm no fan of, the United States empire and our currency system. But nonetheless, the alternative is what the BRICS nations are proposing, which would be a gold-backed currency, which in the alternative media, we have been told that this is the end-all be-all of things for decades. We've been brainwashed into thinking. And look, I am no fan of the Federal Reserve note. However, I'm also not a fan of a CBDC backed by gold that has to be earned through some sort of social credit score, which is what the BRIC nations are proposing. Okay. And so that's not good either. And so you can have both things being bad, but the current Federal Reserve and Fed note that I have in my pocket that I can spin, I don't know how long that's going to be with the FedNow system. And I don't know how long that's going to be until we get our own CBDC, okay? But nonetheless, right now, the Fed note I have in my pocket is better than the CBDC-backed social credit score Chinese system and what BRICS nations are proposing, okay? Now, should we go to war over stopping this? No, I'm anti-war. And I think, the elites propagate all wars and revolutions, okay? And I believe it's definitely influenced from Satan. God's ultimately sovereign, but, that's what occurs. But let me ask you this, Charlie. Do you think there's any way out of this? I don't think there's any way out of this. I just don't. I think it's going to happen. I don't see any way it's not going to happen. And I think they want it. I think they've been foaming at the mouth for it for decades, centuries. I don't know. Your thoughts on that?
I think that if they put people with a strong moral compass in charge, then we would probably avoid this. But when you look at the so-called representatives of us in government, and I understand that the government doesn't run the show here, but the people that ultimately vote for this, they're some of the worst human beings in our country, and they're elevated to positions of prominence in the form of Congress and the White House. And so, boy, if it were up to us, I'm anti-war too. I'd do whatever I could to get around this. I certainly wouldn't have Anthony Blinken negotiating on my behalf. Oof. With the Chinese. I mean, they just straight up stood him up in Alaska and gave him they gave him the what's what there and sent him packing. So look, I'm with you, John. I'm not interested in a Chinese top-down control grid system. I'm not interested in a central bank digital currency of any form or fashion, regardless of whether it's gold backed or silver backed or backed
commodities
by
backed the or whatever, like
commodities backed. Yeah. Yeah. If it's a central bank digital currency, if it comes from a central bank, I'm not interested. I don't want it. And if it's programmable, well, then you can just program it to evaporate in 90 days if they choose. When Klaus Schwab says you'll own nothing, part of the reason why you'll own nothing is because you'll never be able to save anything. when your money is programmable and it can, you can say, you know, John, we got the Christmas earnings report in and it didn't look good. And spending was down by 13%. So in order to goose the economy, John, we're going to have to set your, you know, a certain percentage of your CBDCs to expire in 90 days. So, you know, get out there and buy that new refrigerator, get out there and lease what, you know, get out there and spend whatever you can, because it's going to be worthless pretty soon. So I have fears of this. I mean, are you seeing this? I mean, this feels like, I'm not a particularly religious guy, you are, but this feels like a spiritual war, man. It feels like good versus evil at this point.
Well, very much so, though I would say from a Christian perspective, it's within God, there is no darkness. The light versus evil, great awakening versus the great reset seems to be kind of like a Masonic duality, like a Masonic chessboard, black and white, you know, and that seems to be driving it. It seems to be driving people's fears, their anger towards each other. People are polarized now more than ever that I know of, Charlie. I mean, at least that's what I see. Maybe it's not when you're talking to people on the street, but at least that's what's presented to us on the beast that is known as the internet and social media, right? You know? So, but the conservatives, the CFP, Peter Thiel had his own social credit score app. It was called Glorify. Now it folded. There's been some inklings that Elon Musk is going to incorporate it into his X app, which he said he wanted it to be the WeChat of America, you know, but they had it where you can get your mortgage, your banking, your social credit score. That's what the app Glorify was. If very few people had ever heard it, it was being pushed by people on the right and CMP like Candace Owens, for example, you know, and it folded. Okay. And I think it might have been pivoted into the coming X app, which is going to be part of Twitter. Elon Musk is not our guy. Before Twitter was bought, yes, any, you know, alternative media conspiracist, conservative, you want to say, do you like Elon Musk? Well, no, because of Tesla, SpaceX, and Neuralink, right? He's going to put chips on our brains, you know. But now, since he bought Twitter and the charade of free speech that is being propagated to the masses, you know, now there's a lot of people that are behind Elon Musk, but Elon Musk literally said he's going to, and the original name for PayPal and the domain that they used was X, right? And you sign on the X with your signature, right? You signed an X, right? And so he said he wants it to be the WeChat of America. So what does that mean? Well, that means a social credit score. That means governor monitoring of your social media networks, which you know they already do. That's a complete control. That's the octopus of global control right there, right, Charlie?
Yep.
So yep. If that's built into a utility that you already use in mass, and I believe that Dorsey and Musk are working together. Blue Sky is an op. The whole thing's operation. You know, and
it
does, so they're
it feels
literally,
like that.
It does. Yes, yeah. It does. And how many people are still censored on Twitter? Is it truly free speech, Charlie? That's another question
no.
I have too, right?
So, no, you know, it's not. It's not. It's really not.
And so yeah. that's my concern is they make it some sort of social credit score app. And, you know, eventually that's my thing is if Trump becomes president in 2024, imagine what the CMP, imagine what the elite can do. Because they think Trump's our guy because Biden has been one of the worst presidents in American history, okay? Imagine what they can get through when the pendulum swings back.
It's something that we might get a chance to see. Back with a final segment with John Brisson after the break. This is TNT Radio.
Never forget. Never forget the COVID tyranny that was imposed upon us.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Listen to this 30-second compilation and remember, and then reject the Great Reset.
Getting vaccines, it's time to start shaming them.
Because frankly, we know that we can't trust the unvaccinated.
F*** them, f*** their freedom. I want my freedom to live.
No, screw your freedom. You're a schmuck for not wearing a mask.
We have to stop coddling the morons who will not get the shot.
Shame on you.
No mask, get out.
Don't wear a mask or get off.
Listen to the voices of tyranny. Never forget those voices. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute, urging you to reject The Great Reset.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
The 9/11 terrorist attacks shocked the world and led to the so-called War on Terror. But there's another side to 9/11, which the mainstream media won't cover. For several years, more than 3,000 qualified professionals, at architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, have demanded a proper investigation into 9/11. A genuine investigation into 9/11 would consider evidence that the World Trade Center towers were rigged for controlled demolitions. This includes the third building that collapsed on that fateful day, Building 7, the 47-story skyscraper, which dropped in under 7 seconds, yet no plane crashed into it. This is particularly troubling, as Building 7 was probably one of the most secure buildings in the USA, with the US Secret Service, Department of Defense, and CIA among its tenants. Who would have access to rig a controlled demolition? TNT Radio will cover this story to find the actual perpetrators of the 9/11 attacks.
Today's conversation, Charlie Robinson on today's News Talk, TNT Radio. TNT Radio.
Back for a final segment with John Brisson. Man, I love this radio station. Did you listen to the commercials during it? They're so based. It's amazing. Hey, John, before we get started, where is the best place for people to go to read your work, to support what you're doing, and to follow you online?
Yeah, you can find me We've Read on Substack. We've Read the documents on Odyssey. I got banned off of YouTube, as many people have. Had no strikes, nice. Charlie, and they took my channel down completely in one fell swoop. I mean, a lot of people out there, solidarity if anybody's been taken down, because this is how it is in the modern world we live in. We've_read on Twitter. I do a podcast with By Their Fruits with Jeremy Stone. Shout out to Jeremy. He's interviewed you as well. Charlie too, as well. Big fan of the show. Recommends you highly, brother. I think that's every Patreon. We've Read the documents, where everybody can find me.
Well, you consider yourself to be conservative and you consider yourself to be a Christian. I am curious, what do conservatives stand for these days?
True conservatives, or the conservatives that we see?
That's the question
CMP gives us. I guess one of the prime examples of that is the pushing of LGBTQT plus agenda. We would believe that conservatism and conservatives, and, you know, most Christians are against it, except for the liberal ones, which are few and far between. But most conservatives, you think that they would be against the pushing of that agenda, right? But it appears in a lot of conservative media that's anything but. So, of course, we have the allegations against Steven Crowder, for example, and Steven Crowder always dressing up in dresses and drag. The pushing of Blair White, who is transgender, kind of these based, transgender people that the right is pushing. Trump himself, Trump allowed one of the first transgender contestants in the Miss Universe pageant in the early 2010s, and is an ardent supporter of LGBTQT plus, and has been, you know, the Dylan Mulvaney, Bud Light debacle. Donald Trump Jr. told conservatives to stop coming against the Anheuser-Busch family because they support conservative causes, and they should not boycott Dylan Mulvaney being on Bud Light, which I believe you would agree with me. Dylan Mulvaney's a complete actor, and the whole thing's an operation. Has to be.
Oh yeah, the whole it's totally manufactured and made to happen.
I call them the conservatives, right? Because what are they conserving anymore? You know, they seem to be giving ground to progressive and liberal ideologies constantly. They're always, I mean, Ron DeSantis gave up free speech and signed a bill in Israel. And some of the things were already banned, right? Like you couldn't broadcast put up a projection of a symbol or anything on private property already, right? Like, that's already against the law. Like, I can't come to your house and put a projector on your property or even off your property and start projecting anything I want to on your house, right? Like, I can't do that. That was already against the law. But what he did sneak in is you can't put up any flyers or give out any leaflets or anything that could be considered to be hate speech on public college campuses, or you can't use a bullhorn and say anything that could be considered hate speech on public property. So stuff like that is protected by the First Amendment of our Constitution. Now, granted, I know the elite wiped their butts with the Constitution, okay? But nonetheless, DeSantis, signed this Florida bill in Israel, okay? So they're supposed to be champions of free speech, right, Charlie? That's one of the bedrocks right. of being conservative. In modern times, it wasn't always like that. But, it's kind of weird how the left and the right have changed positions. Right.
And we've had a pole shift in politics.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, but DeSantis, who's a conservative darling, well, he curtailed free speech. Anybody that wants to boycott Israel, the boycott, divest, sanctions movement, the BDS movement, you can no longer do that in Florida without being threatened for being arrested for hate speech and being charged with a low class felony, Charlie.
Jeez.
And so, these people don't stick up for conservatism, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, or they don't defend Christianity. All the CMP conservatives, that's exactly what they are. And it's saddening and disheartening thing to see. But they don't stand for conservatism and they don't stand for what they claim to believe that they stand in. They just stand for what the elite tells them, which is more wars and more suffering. They don't represent me. There's no one that I can think of. There are people that may represent some of my conservative beliefs in Congress, right? But they're still tied in with all the rest of them. There's some beliefs that Thomas Massie states that I believe in. Even though he wanted to dump glyphosate, though, on the poppy fields and contaminate and poison the Afghanis with glyphosate. At the John Birch Society 50th anniversary keynote speech, he stated that a few years ago that he wanted to do that. As a farmer, he should know better, right, Charlie? To dump all that toxic glyphosate on the Afghani people, okay, to get rid of the poppy fields, okay? So again, none of these people are our guys, okay? They state stuff like that all the time. They might state things that I agree with, okay? Broken clock is right twice daily, but none of them represent me. Okay. And I don't think they represent you either. I don't think any of them do. And it's sad. It's sad that that's the state that we're in, that if you're a long-term House representative or Congress member or Supreme Court justice, or if you've even made it to the presidency of the United States, this wasn't a controversial belief in conspiracy culture a decade ago, that these people were not our guys. They're all compromised in some fashion, and they all support the elite. It wasn't the Cambridge Analytica and Billy Harps on this in 2016 with the psychological, spiritual, psychographical operation they did then with getting Trump elected. That all of a sudden now, if you're on the right, the conservatives are for you. If you're on the left, the progressives and the progressive Democrat parties for you. And even people, when you have left parapolitical, a lot of people are right parapolitical truthers. They now believe that these members of Congress represent them. They really got us divided into a blue team, red team political paradigm, and it's sad to see.
Yeah, I wish I could put together some sort of Frankenstein-like president with a little bit from this person and a little bit from that person and the ideas from, I like this that Rand Paul says, I like this that Thomas Massie says, I like some of this that, some other guy said, oh, I have to take a little bit from Ron Paul, but that's an old timer out there, so to put together this representative of me and you that doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in our current political paradigm. It's like it's like what they talk about, how these politicians should be forced to wear NASCAR suits with all the patches of all of the corporations that they represent, that this idea of representative government, that I think that got thrown out with the when we allowed corporations to donate unlimited funds to election campaigns. I think that that went right out. I mean, I think the United States, we the people, got destroyed after the Citizens United decision that allowed for just uncontrolled amounts of money to flow into politics. It never,
which was a CMP thing. It was pushed by the CMP, by the way.
Was it? Was it? Well, okay. I'm not surprised. Didn't know that, but not surprised at all. I mean, it seems like it's almost perfectly on brand for where what we've become. It's a damn shame, John, because we, you know, I remember, and you remember too, how this country used to be, and it felt like there might be variations, there might be little adjustments here and there, but for the most part, this is like one of those gigantic oil tankers, and it's very hard to turn those things around quickly. And yet, over the last, I don't know, 8 years or so, I've seen more changes in this country than I've seen in my entire lifetime. Maybe it's just that I'm paying attention. Maybe it's just that the media got me riled up. Maybe it's because Trump broke everybody's brains, but it feels like we're on a, it feels like the end of the empire. I know I wrote a book called The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire with Berwick, but we certainly didn't mean for it to be an instruction manual for tyranny. We were sort of talking about it in generalities.
Yeah.
That's it for me. I appreciate it. It certainly is. Thank you to our guests, Don Jeffries and John Brisson. If you like this show, you can catch it as a podcast. Share it with your friends and family. As the great Billy Ray Valentine says, I'm out of here. Don't burn this place down while I'm gone. Take care, everybody.